Welcome to actually the fourth and last week in a series of talks that are based on the book by Dr. Michael Bernard Beckwith that is called The Answer Is You. And so today we are actually looking at chapter 5, if you want to know if you're reading along, which is about being an emissary for peace. And so would you like to live in a world free from violence and war? Yes. Would you like to live in a country and in a city that is filled with peace, see peace in our country and in our cities? Would you like to have peace in your own life and in your own home? Absolutely. Me too. All of that. And like that song, "Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me," that's exactly where peace starts. It starts with each and every single one of us in our hearts and in our minds, in our attitudes and in our words, in our thinking and in our actions, and in our reactions. In our reactions to people and to events and to all the things that are going on in the world. Peace starts inside here. And so the truth is, if we cannot maintain peace inside of ourselves, we cannot have peace out there. It doesn't work that way. I have a friend who is involved in a peace organization, and they bring speakers in from all over the world. And I know recently she went and she was one of the hosts in Korea and bringing in all these speakers, and there were thousands of people there. And she hates her husband. And they live in separate areas of the house, and they don't do things together. And when I brought up to her that you have to have peace in your own backyard, you have to have peace in your own home in order to have peace in the world, she was shocked. It never occurred to her. We want them to make peace and have peace out there, but we're unwilling to make peace and have peace in here. And it can't work that way. Like the saying goes, no matter where you go, there you are. We take ourselves with us wherever we go. We take our thoughts and our feelings and our attitude and the lens through which we view life, we take that with us wherever we go, so that becomes our experience also wherever we go. And so think about it. Notice, if you are irritated, do you interact with your spouse differently than if you are peaceful and calm? Do you interact with your children differently when you're irritated than if you are having a sense of well-being inside of yourself? Do you drive differently if you're angry or if you're peaceful? Do you interact with your pet differently if you're impatient or if you're peaceful and at ease? If I asked you to draw a picture, the picture would turn out differently if you were depressed or if you are filled with self-criticism and self-contempt or if you are peaceful. Whatever the attitude is, that is what we bring to the world with us. We take the atmosphere of our thinking and our feeling with us wherever we go. What happens, though, is we forget that we are the ones that are responsible for our experience, and especially responsible for our inner experience. What happens is we want to live peaceful lives. We want to have peace in our hearts and peace in our thinking, and at the same time, we hold on to old resentments. We hold on to old angers. We refuse to let go, and we refuse to forgive. And we expect to have peace. We get mad at our spouse for something they did or something they said, and then we stay angry for hours or sometimes days. I know someone that told me she and her husband had a fight and they hadn't spoken for 5 days. We hold on to our anger and our resentment. You can get mad at your neighbor for infringing on your property rights, something like cutting on your tree that was hanging over the fence, and stay mad for years over something like that. We hold others in non-forgiveness, and we hold ourselves in non-forgiveness. We say something or do something that we wish we hadn't said or done, and then we beat ourselves up for hours or days over that instead of letting ourselves off the hook. We judge ourselves and others harshly. if we have an inner war going on inside of here or inside of here, we can't be at peace and we can't experience peace. And so I read a story that I'd like to share with you, and it's called, I won't tell you what it's called. It goes like this. An elderly carpenter was ready to retire. He told her his employer slash contractor of his plans to leave the house building business and live a more leisurely life with his wife and enjoy his extended family. He would miss the paycheck each week, but he wanted to retire. They could get by. The contractor was very sorry to see his good worker go and asked if he could build just one more house as a personal favor. The carpenter said yes, but over time it was easy to see that his heart was not in his work. He resorted to shoddy workmanship and used inferior materials. It was an unfortunate way to end a dedicated career. When the carpenter finished his work, his employer came to inspect the house. Then he handed the front door key to the carpenter and said, "This is your house, my gift to you." What a shame. If he had only known he was building his own home, he would have done it so differently. So it is with us. We build our lives one day at a time, often putting less than our best into the building. And then with shock, we realize that we have to live in the house that we have built. If we could do it over, we would do it so much differently. But you cannot go back. You are the carpenter. And every day you hammer a nail, place a board, erect a wall. Someone once said life is a do-it-yourself project. Your attitude and the choices you make today help you build, quote, the house that you live in tomorrow. Therefore, build wisely. We build the house that we live in day by day with our thinking and our attitudes. But not only do we build our house, we are all collectively building this condominium complex that we all live in also. And the wall that we build is also the wall that we share with our neighbor. And the nails that we put in also are part of the whole collective. That's what happens when we come to the world in peace, as a presence of peace. It affects the whole condominium complex. And so Michael Beckwith in this book says that stopping the cycle of violence begins with oneself. It begins with how we treat ourselves and how we speak to ourselves, how we hold ourselves. It begins with how we speak to and interact and hold other people that we are in contact with in the world. It begins within oneself. And Martin Luther King said, "Peace is not merely a distant goal that we seek, but a means by which we arrive at the goal." We bring forward peace within ourselves and have peaceful actions and peaceful worlds, and that creates the peace that we want to see in the world. That means then that you can't be angry, you can't be full of blame or full of insecurities and expect from there to all of a sudden step into this paradise, this island of paradise where everything is peaceful. Because like I said, we take ourselves with us. So that means then it behooves us to learn how to create peace within ourselves, how to create and maintain peace in our thinking and peace in our feelings and peace inside of us so we can have peace in our relationships and peace in our homes and peace in our neighborhoods and in the country and in the cities and in the world. And so in this book that we've been reading, The Answer Is You, he gives us some tools of how to do that. And in class this week, based on the same book, we talked about those tools and we did some visioning. And we asked ourselves, what is it for each one of us that I need to embrace in order to experience greater peace in my life? And what is it that I need to release in order to experience greater peace in my life? And some of those answers that we came up with, one of them is to forgive ourselves and others. We hold on to, like I said, that resentment and that anger. And it makes me think of the McCoys, the Hatfields and the McCoys. You know, they've been battling since 1863, and for generation after generation after generation, still fighting. And I read this week that they finally called a truce in 2003, that the families will quit fighting. They've forgotten what they were even fighting for in the first place. And my friend that hates her husband so much, she's mad at him for something he did 27 years ago that she can't let go of. We do that. But I think it's really important, and I talk about this, and we'll talk about it again, to recognize that forgiving someone is not condoning bad behavior. It's not saying that it was okay. It's not agreeing with something that someone has said or done that is harmful. It doesn't even mean you have to have a relationship with them. It doesn't mean that you invite them into your home if it's not a beneficial, healthy thing for you to do. But what forgiving does mean is it means you're not continuing to drag the past into your present moment about what was said and what was done and how you feel about it and how hurtful it was. You quit dragging that with you. What happens is you accept what happened that it happened. And I love this. Oprah says, forgiveness is when we quit wishing that the past will be different, when we quit hoping that the past will be different. It's accepting this is what happened and allowing it to just be that, and then it's unplugging from it emotionally and energetically and mentally so you can be present in this moment with all of your resources, all of your joy and your peace and your love and your happiness and all the things that you have inside of you. But you have to unplug from that thing that happened in order to do that. And that's part of what forgiveness is. It's not keeping the thing alive in your thinking anymore. And so I've all shared stories with you about conflicts that I've had with my next door neighbor, Al. The very first interaction I ever had with him was conflict. He was bullying me and in my face and pointing his finger at me, and that's kind of his MO. So we've kind of had conflicts for 27 years I've lived in that house. And so earlier this year, his daughter came over, who lives directly across the street from him, and came over and told me that she and her mother, his wife, were going out of town. They're going to Idaho to visit her other sister. And her dad, Al, had fallen in the backyard recently, and he was on the ground for a while, and no one knew that he fell. Would I mind keeping an ear open and kind of keeping an eye out for him? Of course I don't mind keeping an eye out for him. He's old now. He's like 85, you know? But my heart opened. Of course I'll keep an eye out for him. You know, I have in my life prayed for this to be different, for resolution, for letting go. I've blessed him. I've wished him well. Of course I am happy to keep an eye out for him. And so nothing happened while they were gone, and they were just gone a couple days. And the next time he saw me outside getting in my car, he came over and thanked me and apologized for being a jerk so many times. And you know what? A short time later, we were picking oranges off our orange tree. I said, you know, I think I'm going to take some oranges over to Al. And I took them over to his house. And we have tomatoes now, and I said to Colleen this week, I think I should take some tomatoes over to Al and his wife. It has changed something inside of me. But what happened is I had to let go of the story of what he had said and what he had done and how he'd been and all those things that he had done so many times in order to have a new story. And so when I was able to let go of that, I can have the new story of that I am a neighborly neighbor that of course would help out and be available and do what needs to be done. That's how I like to be. That's who I am on the inside anyway. And so I had to let go in order to have something new, in order to write a new story. And now we're writing a new story. And doesn't it say in the Bible, behold, I make all things new? Not if we're dragging the past into the moment, it doesn't. We have to let it go. And so do I totally trust Al today? No, because I don't think that would really be prudent. But the thing is, I have dropped it. And the thing is, I feel free now. And so now when I walk to my car, I don't avoid him. I don't feel anxious if I see him outside. It's different for me. And because I am different, he has to be different. That's the way it works. When we come to a situation differently, when we come with love or with peace or even standing in our own wholeness, the person's going to interact with us differently because there's this energetic field that happens between the two of us. And so Michael Beckwith in his book says, as we set aside our opinions and look through the lens of love, accepting the inherent goodness residing within each individual, no matter how dim it seems to be, we accelerate the action of love within them. Then, perhaps, instead of winning wars, we will begin winning hearts over to peace. As we set aside our opinions, as we let go of the story, as we look through the lens of love, accepting the inherent goodness in everyone. Everyone has that goodness in them, even if it's buried. And as we see that, no matter how dim it is, we accelerate the love that's inside of them. It makes me think of Hug Day. For any of you who have been to Hug Day, we go do free Hug Day at Lakewood Mall Thanksgiving weekend, and we hold up signs, free hugs, you need a hug, and we hug hundreds of people. And that's exactly what happens on Hug Day. We let go of any judgments and are just available as love. And you know what happens to those people? They light up. So many people say, God bless you for doing this. Oh my God, this is so amazing that you guys are doing this. It opens up and accelerates the love in every single one of those people that hugs us. Because we've shown up differently. That's what starts it. And so when we stop judging everyone, or when we stop judging anyone, and instead we see through the eyes of our heart, or we see through the eyes of our spirit, or we see through the eyes of oneness, or we see through the eyes of our own Christ consciousness, or our own Buddha nature, we bring compassion with us. We bring gentleness with us. We bring love with us. We bring kindness with us. That's automatically what happens when we look through those eyes. And that is the second tool that he gives us that we're talking about this week, is compassion. To have compassion for other people and ourselves brings us peace and brings peace to the world. And so compassion doesn't mean sympathy. Compassion doesn't mean feeling sorry for someone. I think what compassion, part of what compassion means, is recognizing the human predicament that we are all in. Recognizing that we all fumble, that we all make mistakes, that we all have blind spots, that we all act selfish sometimes. And it's understanding that that is part of this human predicament that we are all in. I think it's accepting that's just the way that it is. And when we accept that that's just the way that it is, then when someone makes a mistake, like pulls out in front of us in traffic, or when someone says something that's unkind, we remember, oh yes, I make those mistakes sometimes too. And when we realize that, then it puts us in the now moment, free with a clean slate to make the next choice. And the next choice is, how do I want to be now? I'm going to step out of this and leave it behind. How do I want to be now? Because I'm a choice. Compassion for ourselves and for other people. And the person pulled out in front of you and say, okay, I got really angry at that driver and I yelled and I did whatever I did. Now, compassion. We all make mistakes. I have pulled out in front of people, certainly by accident, when I'm not paying enough attention. How do I want to be now? Do I want to stay angry for 27 years? or for an hour or a day? Or do I want to choose again? I'm free to choose now. How do I want to be now? And if you make a mistake, the same thing. I made a mistake. If you need to make amends, admit it, do what you need to do, and then step into that clean slate, leave it behind. How do I want to be now? Oh, I want to be loving, and I want to be kind, and I want to be peaceful. And you get to choose again in that moment. So I think compassion is holding ourselves and other people with a sense of gentleness, with ease, holding people without a rigidness that other people must comply to our rules and the way that we think they should be. A gentleness. Oh, we're all in this together and we all make mistakes. Michael Beckwith says that we should rest assured that experiences never come to punish us or test us. They always come to awaken us. Every time someone pushes your buttons, every time someone makes you angry, there's an invitation inside of that for you to awaken to something within yourself that you have not yet given birth to, that you have not yet discovered. It is always an opportunity to awaken to something within you and to bring that forward into your life. Maybe it's love. Maybe it's your own wholeness. Maybe it's just that anchor of peace. Maybe it's an opportunity for you to stand and own your own power. Maybe it's an opportunity to have a voice. Maybe it's an opportunity to tap into the peace and to live from that compassionate Buddha nature that you have inside of you. Maybe it's to discover the light of love or the light of peace or the light of wisdom that's inside of you. But it's always an opportunity. And so Michael Beckwith reminds us that we are each being called to co-create this world that we wish to see. It starts here with us. And we create that world by choosing to live in love instead of in fear or in anger. We do that by choosing to express compassion instead of judgment and forgiveness. We do that by being the presence of peace, even when there's chaos going on all around us. We are called to be that place in consciousness for evolution to take place, that evolution of humanity that we talk about. We are called to be available to that. And so my invitation to you this week is to let go of your old stories. Let go of what happened and what he said, she said, he did, she said. Let it go and forgive. And then to act from a place of compassion, compassion for yourself and for other people. We all make mistakes. We all do things and say things that hurt people's feelings. We all do things and say things sometimes that are selfish or self-centered. We all do. Have you ever done those things? We all do them. Have compassion. Just hold it gently. And foster connection with other people. Foster that sense of oneness. Be the one and be the change that you want to see in the world. And then you will absolutely be living on purpose, living that soul call, why you came to this planet in the first place, to make a difference and to bring that presence into this world in a way that is healing, in a way that is good. And so I thank you again for walking this path, and blessings to each and every single one of you as you walk this path of remembering and of awakening. Blessings. Do you want to pray with me? Reverend Karen will come up and pray with me. Nice. You want to go first or second? I'll let you go first.
So let's just get ourselves centered and knowing this truth together. That there is that one power, that one life, that one love.
here and right now in this moment within each one of us, bringing light and life into existence and sustaining all that is good. And for each one of us, we are its expression. We are the peace that pours through. And as each one of us comes from that one presence, that one life. And I know that each one here lives, moves, and breathes this existence, that each one is open and receptive to their divine presence. And that as they allow God to move through their lives, that peace that is already right within is open to being revealed in their consciousness, in their lives. And that absolute knowingness of that Buddha self that Reverend Jennifer spoke about is it is there. Just revealing itself. No matter what is going on the outer, that peace that passes all understanding is there within us always. Always within us. And so I pass.
And so how grateful I am just to be in recognition of this truth, to be bathing in this energy of truth, of peace and of love and of light and of wisdom and of beauty that is all around us, that is this thing called life. And so today, yes, we recognize and claim and know our oneness with this infinite presence. That it is the life that we are living, and it is the life that is animating us. It is the path that we walk in, that which leads us and guides us on this path. It is that thing that speaks in our hearts of love and of peace and of sharing ourselves in this world and of bringing good into this world. This is the call of the divine within us. And it is that presence of the divine that we walk in, that we live in, that expresses itself in and through and as everything around us. How good it is to be in recognition and in celebration of this life today. Oh, it is so amazing and so magnificent. And so today, yes, we do indeed answer that call of our own heart and our own soul and our own spirits to be that light. To be the activity of peace, the activity of compassion, the activity of gentleness and of love and of acceptance. And so today I know that as we walk this path, we are absolutely blessed, for this is the path of the divine, and it is the one that is leading us forward to be this presence in this world. And so it is with a heart filled with gratitude that I release this prayer into that law of being, the law of my being, of all of our beingness. And so we claim it and we accept it. And I say, and so it is.